And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is personal finance. Each of my guests is discussing a matter pertaining to our financial well-being. My first guest is a media star in Portland who turned his attention to writing a personal finance book. He showed us how to slay our bills, decapitate debt, fight the apocalypse of financial doom from his book, Zombie Economics. My second guest examined how we spend our money. She worked for more than 2 years as a retail associate to investigate all aspects of retailing, the nation's third largest industry and also the largest employer here in the United States. We discussed what it really takes to work for $8 to $10 an hour from her book, Mauled. My next guest promises to make us rich. He's an author, an entrepreneur, and a business maven who provides a six-week program designed to make us wealthy in his book titled, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Ramit Sethi graduated from Stanford in 2005, where he received his undergraduate and his master's degree, where he studied technology and psychology. Ramit co-founded PB Wiki, which is a venture-backed startup operating in the shared digital workspace. He's the author of I Will Teach You to Be Rich website, which hosts over 250,000 readers per month. He's been featured in all kinds of press, too much to elaborate on here, and he thinks that money is only a small part of being rich. Welcome to the show, Ramit. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And I just love your book. It starts out with a very amusing story of how you became interested in money. It started when you first received your scholarship to go to college. Tell us the story and tell us how it influenced your decisions to really help people become rich.
Well, I've got two immigrant parents, and they said, you want to go to college, that's great, but you have to find some scholarships to pay for it. So I ended up applying to a ton of scholarships. And the first check I got was for $2,000. That's a lot of money, especially for a 17-year-old. And I took that money and I invested it in the stock market because that's what everybody does with their scholarship money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately lost half my money. And that was when I realized that I better learn how this money thing works. Well, as I spent the next few years learning about money, reading all the books and doing some of my own research, I was also studying psychology and human behavior. And I had to, when I was reading some other experts on money, I really had to say that the emperor has no clothes, that we have the same old experts telling us the same old advice. They would say things like, keep a budget, don't spend money on lattes. Of course you can't buy that in this economy. And it just didn't jive with how I wanted to live my life. I didn't want someone telling me what I can't do with my money. I wanted someone to show me how I can do the things I want with my money. And so that's why I started my website and wrote my book as well.
All right, Ramit. Well, graduation season is approaching, and I Will Teach You to Be Rich is a great gift for somebody graduating from high school or college. In fact, the principles that you teach in your book are important economic and life lessons as well. Why is it that what you provide in your book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, isn't taught to children in school or at home?
Well, most parents don't know. Most parents themselves don't know what they're doing with their money. So how could they teach their kids? Most teachers also were never taught, so how could they know what they're doing? And then, of course, there's all these regulatory problems, right? So are schools going to allow some sort of financial education? And if they do, you better believe that Wall Street wants to be there so that they can get their cut of teaching these kids. So there's a whole issue of why aren't we learning this in school? But the fact of the matter is, while I would love to spend an hour blaming everybody, because it's actually pretty fun, we can only control ourselves. So it really drives me crazy when I hear someone complaining about money, especially someone who's in their 30s or 40s, you know. They'll complain about money for their entire life. But you ask them, have you ever read one good personal finance book? Have you ever spent one weekend understanding your finances? And they'll say no. Many of us would rather complain than do anything with our money. And so I'm not speaking to them. I'm speaking to the people who want to change their money behavior, and I'll show them how to do it.
All right, that's fair enough. We're talking to Ramit Sethi, everybody, author of the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. No guilt, no excuses, no BS, just a six-week program that works. And Ramit, I'm going to ask you to step back for just a moment and take a look at the U.S. economy today. What is the state of the economy? And our stock market's at a three-year high. Interest rates continue to be historically low. Inflation is tamed, some would argue, and it's not, but at least the government statistics are saying that it's tamed. However, hiring is sluggish, the jobless claims are down, salaries are stuck or flat where they have been for the last year or two. How would you describe the state of the U.S. economy today?
I wouldn't describe it, and I don't take much time to describe it, because when we're talking about our personal finances, that's very different than a national or even international geopolitical commentary. You'll find that most of the people who spend time talking about, national economy, that's certainly useful and valuable on a macro level, but it has very little to do with our individual personal finances. So whether the economy is good or bad, we want to continue saving a bit of money. We want to continue investing. We want to make decisions about where do we want our money to go. But, you know, whether the winds shift one way or another, whether it's one political party in office or another, that has very little to do with how we spend and save and invest and earn money on a day-to-day basis.
All right. That's fair, and that's a great answer to that question. So you've got a six-week program that works. So take us through your six-week system, and it starts in a very interesting place. It starts with optimize your credit cards and learn what to say to get the fees waived. So talk to me about that. First of all, what does it mean, and why do you start there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Many books will start off with, like, let's talk about our money values and let's all sing Kumbaya. And I'm like, look, screw that. We all have credit cards, and most of us hate our credit card company. So we can get huge wins in this first chapter. And here's what I did. I included negotiation scripts that you can read off the page and get certain things waived. For example, you can get your late fees waived on your credit card. You can even get your APR, your interest rate, reduced. Many of my students have done that. And then the next chapter on banks, you can get your overdraft fees and late fees waived as well. Now, why did I do that? One, because Americans are terrible negotiators, and we're afraid, we don't know what to say. And I would say one benefit of growing up with two Indian immigrant parents is that they basically bred me to negotiate like an Indian. So I wanted to share that. But the other thing is, we can actually get a huge amount of value out of our credit cards if we use them properly. For example, I get a lot of free flights every year because I use my credit card properly. Many of us are using credit cards that are, I mean, we're paying them when they should really be paying us. And there's all these things we could be doing with our credit card, not only to get rewards, but to improve our own credit score, which will save us lots of money over the long term.
Well, that first step right there can make people at least have better peace of mind, if not make them wealthier to begin with. So, Ramit, the second step, and you alluded to this in your answer, is set up a no-fee, high-interest bank accounts that don't gouge you. So how is working with the bank fit into your strategy?
We want to get the right fundamentals set up correctly. Many of us continue to use these old legacy banks that, I mean, just think about how most Americans feel about their bank. If you ask them, they would say, I hate them. I dread going in. I don't want to talk to them. Every time they send me an envelope, I don't want to open it. When in reality, there are great banks. And if we work with them, they can give us amazing benefits. Let me give you an example. My checking account, the one that I chose to use, I can go to any ATM in the country, whether it be at a deli or the side of a, you know, restaurant. I can withdraw my money, and they, the bank, will cover the ATM fee. Okay,
that's great.
There are a lot of, new accounts where we don't have to pay all these fees. These banks are online, and I can talk about the trust and security, but they're online and they're much cheaper, and they actually give you more benefits than some of these fat old banks.
All right, so you've moved to an online bank. You've moved away from the money center banks like B of A or Citicorp, and you've moved to something that's online. Is that where the future of finance is headed? Is it all moving online?
No, there'll always be brick-and-mortar banks because many of us are, especially as we get older, there's a lot of people who are more comfortable with brick-and-mortar. But I have to say, more and more people who are younger are becoming very comfortable with online banks. I know a ton of people who have some of the same bank accounts I do, and they don't mind logging into a website. They don't mind sending an email or even talking on the phone. They really have no desire to go in and talk to a teller.
Well,
so,
even if you're an old dog...
Exactly.
I mean, even if you're an old dog like me, I think just reading your chapter on setting up these online bankings and learning what some of the options are is very, very good. Third step is open an investment account, and you can start with as little as $50 to get into that. Now we're starting to get in some of the more traditional types of thinking there. Now, talk to us about investment accounts. How should we view our investment accounts, Ramit?
Well, first of all, most of us have this odd belief, not most, many of us have this odd belief that we need to get wealthy first and then we'll start investing, when it actually works in reverse. The way you get wealthy is by investing. And you don't need to be Warren Buffett. You don't need to have read a million books. You can open up an investing account today. It'll be open and fully ready to go in about 24 to 48 hours. You can open it up with 50 or 100 bucks. You could tell them, look, I'm going to start investing. I'm not ready yet, but I just want to get this account open. Now, in the book, I do describe different accounts and which ones you should open depending on your situation. For example, there are certain types of accounts like a Roth IRA or a 401k. Terrible names, by the way.
The marketing people were asleep.
You want to open it up. Yeah. But those accounts, as weird as they sound, can actually save you tens of thousands of dollars because of some tax benefits. So I share with you exactly which accounts are the right ones to open up. And I don't talk about investing at all in this chapter. I just want you to open the accounts up and take it step by step. Because once you have it open up and you've got 50 or 100 bucks in there, you're very likely to want to figure out what to do with that money.
Well, you tell a very interesting story, Ramit Sethi, who's, by the way, the author of I Will Teach You to Be Rich. You tell a very amusing story about investing, and you say it's a story about two elementary school children playing tennis and what they're arguing over. I'd love that story. Do you mind sharing that with my listeners?
Is this the story where they're talking about how early they should start their investing?
No, this is the story about how they're talking about how tight their tennis rackets are strung.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. I mean, these kids, it's like they'll debate, oh, this, you know, should I get my racket this tight or that tight? And the fact of the matter is, you know, for the best, if I'm playing Andre Agassi and I walk out there and I have the best tennis racket in the world and he has a piece of crap, he's going to beat me no matter what. So a lot of times we focus on the tools. Oh, my God, are we using this or that? But actually what we need to do is just get started. And if we get really good, then the tools become very less relevant.
All right. We're talking to Ramit Sethi, everybody. Now, the next step down your list is automate your new infrastructure. And that really is kind of a recurring theme. So talk to us about automating our infrastructure, automating our bill paying, automating our savings, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Automation is one of the things that is so ignored, but it's so important. In America, we have this belief that if I just try harder, I can succeed. For example, if I just try harder, I can lose those last 10 pounds. Or if I just try harder, I can save that $100. But let me give you an interesting study. You know, if you ask people, particularly in their 40s, what is your biggest concern? The answer will quite simply be money. Well, researchers went into companies, and they found that in one company, about 38% of people had contributed to their 401k. You know, when you join a new company, you got to fill out that form and all that stuff to get your retirement account set up. Well, you know, how many decades has it been since experts have been educating us about our 401k, yet we still don't contribute? So what they did was they switched it around, where on the first day you were employed there, you were automatically enrolled in a 401k. Now, you could stop if you wanted, but it was automatic. Guess what? Contributions rates skyrocketed to over 95%.
Wow.
Overnight. So the point is, you can try harder and try harder, but that's only going to take you so far. What's important is building systems so that you don't have to think about it, so that your money automatically goes where it needs to go.
Okay. And what about automatic saving systems from payroll deductions? Do you have any feelings on that one way or the other?
Yep. I'm a big fan. In fact, in Chapter 5, I spent almost 8 years building this system of mine, and I have a diagram there and a description. What I want everyone listening to do is realize that when you wake up right now, you have 50 choices you could make with your money. I can pay off debt. I can buy that latte, go out to dinner with my friend, change my asset allocation, all this stuff. And invariably with those choices, with so many, we do the same thing we've always done, which is nothing. A better choice is that when you wake up every morning, let's say you just got paid yesterday, your system will automatically take some of your money, put it into a retirement account, some of your money into a savings account. In fact, some of it into a specific sub-savings account. Like maybe you want to take a trip to Thailand at the end of the year. It'll do that for you. And then the money that's left over, the money that's sitting there waiting for you, is money you can spend guilt-free on whatever you like. You want to buy $400 shoes or a $200 pair of pants? Do it, because you've already taken care of what needs to be taken care of.
Oh, great advice from Ramit Sethi, everybody. Author of the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. No guilt, no excuses, no BS, just a 6-week program that works. And Ramit, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich?
It's not just about trying harder. And I want people to understand that build a system is more important than trying harder. And here's the second point. much of what we hear about from experts is advice that really doesn't make a big difference. Save money on lattes. What are you going to save? If you cut back on every latte you ever have in a year, you're going to save a few $100, which is not that much, and you're going to want to kill yourself every morning. Why not focus on stuff that actually matters, like negotiating your salary and improving your credit? Those both can save you tens of thousands of dollars over your lifetime.
All right, Ramit, one final question, and this is the big payoff question. Give my listeners just one thing that they can implement immediately to get them started on the path to riches.
Okay. What you can do today is call up your bank and credit card and check if you have paid any fees in the last 3 months. And if you have, get them waived. If you have not, call your cable company. You would be surprised. I would say at least 25 to 50% of you will be able to negotiate a savings of over $200. By the way, you can get that free chapter right on my website on IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com.
Oh, that's super, and that's exactly where I was taking people, Ramit. If people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where do you direct them to go on the Internet?
So they can go to my site, IWillTeachYouToBeRich.com, where I have about 7 years of free material there. And if they're interested in getting the book, they can buy that at Amazon or any bookstore. It's also called I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
All right, and that includes Bank of Books here in Ventura, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Ramit, thank you so much. It's been a delight having you as my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.